The Old Testament reading today is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added in the day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each other's one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by the obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word of the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? He said to them, What things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all of this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
take a look at the cover of your bulletin. That actually comes from a very famous painting called The Road to Emmaus, which is our gospel lesson. And in that painting, just like this, Jesus is walking between the two disciples, and there are trees on both sides of the road. You've probably seen this picture. It's quite well known. Jesus in this picture is explaining what happened the previous 3 days. So this is taking place on Easter itself. And Luke tells us that they had about a 7 mile walk. Now, supposedly the average walking speed is 2 miles an hour. I think I walk faster than that. You know, I'm one of those speed walkers. But anyway, 7 miles, 2 miles an hour. So it's about a 3.5 hour walk. And Jesus hides his identity from the disciples. They have no idea who he is. Celebrities sometimes enjoy it when people don't recognize them, especially aboard a plane. And they get to sit there and have normal conversations with people and just get to talk. So since they don't recognize who Jesus is, now Jesus can talk to them and get the message across. Instead of them freaking out, he's alive. He wants to teach them. He wants to teach them the entire 7 mile trip. And Jesus sort of plays naive at this point. You know, what were you discussing? What's going on? And they were shocked and said to Jesus, what do you mean? You don't know what's happened in Jerusalem? Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know that this Jesus was arrested and crucified? But Jesus just asked a question. What were you talking about? He wants to start the conversation because he knows the answer. He wants to talk about the answer. All right? These two disciples were discussing what had happened, but Jesus wants to talk about that. He doesn't want the conversation then to go off in another direction. Do we ever have the idea that God is clueless? Or that God turns his back to us? Have you ever said, God, I'm having a terrible day? Sure, I have. All right? I've really barked at him sometimes in my car about having a bad day. What's going on? But doesn't he already know that? You know, Lord, I'm having a terrible day. Don't you care? He already knows the answer. He wants to talk about the answer when we have those kind of feelings. All right. He wants to discuss now with them for 2.5 hours, even though he knows all the answers. You know, okay, children, when they learn a new song or they learn a Bible verse and they come to their parents, do the parents ever say, yeah, I already know that? They come and sing to you when they're real little. They come and sing, I don't know, some tune or theme song from some cartoon that you know all too well because you've had to watch it for too many hours. All right? But you don't say, I already know that tune. Just leave me alone. No, we're thrilled when they come to us with that question. The same way that God's thrilled when we come to him with our questions. Have you ever run into somebody who struggles with their faith or doesn't believe at all? I do. They find out I'm a pastor. Sometimes I get, I've gone to church. It's been quite a few years. All right. And I've actually had some say, no, I don't believe at all. Well, I want to talk about the answer to that question. You know, do you believe? But I'm not going to argue, and I would suggest we don't argue to shoot down their objections. Rather, what do you believe about God? Because sometimes when they explain what they believe, they find out that their argument is kind of ridiculous. It's not logical enough. Then that gives us an opportunity to share the Word of God. Excuse me. All right. Part of being a human being is the struggle. It's what we do. And God wants us to come to him with our problems. Now, these two disciples, they had high hopes for Jesus. They had really hoped that he was the one. They describe him as a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And they said, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. The idea of redeeming is to buy back, from slavery, to buy us back from the devil who owns us, I need to be clear, the devil owned us before the death and resurrection of Christ. And they're figuring, now that Jesus is dead, all our hopes are gone. They also had the wrong idea of redemption. They were thinking redemption meant freedom. And the only way to get that was by shedding Roman blood, not the blood of Jesus. So it's been the 3 days since the crucifixion. It's Easter. Probably Easter afternoon, late afternoon, when he appears to him on the road to Emmaus. I'm wondering if they were thinking about in 3 days, Jesus said, you destroy this temple and I'll build it again. We don't know if the disciples were thinking that, these two disciples. By the way, the two disciples, these are not part of the original 12. These were other followers of Jesus. I just want to be clear. I want to be clear on that. But last week we talked about that expression. You know, the 3 days, you destroy this temple and again I will rebuild it. The disciples may not have understood this, but the Pharisees sure did. That's why they went to Pilate and said, you know, please put guards at the tomb so that they don't come and steal the body. Now, the disciples had heard the women's story. They didn't understand what was going on. I think they had burned into their memory the picture of the cross. Do you ever see something that you can never unsee? There are certain events sometimes in life where an image is burned right into your memory. And I'm wondering if they didn't have that moment where the crucifixion was the only thing that they could see. And anything outside of that, they wanted to ignore because they didn't understand it. Like the women said, he had risen. A couple of the disciples, which we know is Peter and John, came back and said, he's arisen. But I'm thinking these two were still focused, that burnt memory of the crucifixion. They were basically numb. You ever have the death of somebody real close to you? You become numb. All right? I hate to say this, you're going to a funeral. You see the family and they're holding it together and you're wondering how they're doing this. For the most of the part, they're doing it because they're numb. The reality hasn't completely sunk in, and they don't know what to think. They couldn't understand what the women were actually getting at because they were too worked up. Jesus says to them, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? Now, how many of us like to be called a fool? Well, see, that's exactly. Nobody should be raising their hand on that one. Because especially in today's world, it's a harsh word. But you know what? I'll take a harsh word that shames me if it brings me to strengthening my faith in Christ. See, shame can actually be a good thing if it promotes faith. Paul, by the way, does the exact same thing with the Galatians. He calls them fools numerous times and shames them, saying, why are you leaving the gospel? But Galatians is a separate story. Now, when you think of the word fool, it's an interesting word. When somebody's acting foolish, what comes to mind? I don't know. I think of freshmen and sophomores in high school. You know, that, and you'll hear the expression, a sophomoric act. In other words, they're acting like a fool. That's what you think of when you think of freshmen and sophomores. And that's a good thing we don't have any here today because they're thinking I'm making fun of them, which I am. Now, the word is defined as pertaining to unwillingness to use one's mental faculties in order to understand. So being unwilling to use what you know. They had the evidence of the resurrection. The women had told them that he had risen from the dead. Peter and John had told them, but they're being fools because they're not allowing what they know to rule their thinking or their actions. They were slow to believe. They probably wanted to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. But wait a minute, they'd already put all their hopes and trust in him once, and he was crucified, died, and was buried. Would they really want to have their hopes propped up again with stories that he had risen from the dead? Jesus said, "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You know, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I have. There'd be certain historical events in the history of the world that I would like to have been physically present at. I would love to have been there for that Bible study that Jesus was leading. 2.5 hours listening to him explain all the scriptures. Too cool. That's a historical event I would like to be a part of. Of course, I would want my little tape recorder so I could... Well, anyways, that's another story. All right? But what a Bible study that Jesus leads. I'm wondering if he talked about Psalm 22, the piercing of his hands, or Isaiah 53, that he'd be pierced for our transgressions, or from Zechariah, that he would have a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which was only a week before the events of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, or Zechariah talking about he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. 2.5 hours to go over all the scriptures. And then later, after Jesus leaves, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us along the road and while he was explaining the scriptures to us? In other words, they got it. They understood the scriptures. Wow. I'm sorry, that just amazes me. 2.5 hours, of course, God can make anybody understand the scriptures. You know, he did more for them in those 2.5 hours by not revealing himself yet to them than had he revealed himself early on, because they were willing to listen to him and what he had to teach. All right, part of it was that only by suffering could Jesus enter into his glory. We read from 1 Peter, which was our epistle lesson. "You know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot." Notice Peter says, "You know that you were redeemed," not "you think you were redeemed." You might have been redeemed. You know that you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And sometimes, though, there's a disconnect between what we hear and what we believe. All right, here's a disconnect moment. Do you ever wonder if God really takes care of you? You ever have that doubt? I will certainly admit to that one. All right? But Jesus walked with the disciples and he guided them in all truths. They would know that these things are true. Like, we know that God will take care of us. Now, sometimes though, guess what? We choose to be what? A fool. All full of doom and gloom. Because we forget that we know that he is the Lord and Savior, that he conquered sin, death, and the devil, that he's not dead. And these two disciples were impacted by what Jesus had taught them for 2.5 hours. Now, here's a cultural explanation here. It would have been extremely rude of them not to invite Jesus into their house. He was a stranger. It was at night. It's not safe. They did not have Motel 6s and 8s, okay? Did not have hotels. So you basically, either you slept outside or somebody invited you in. And in this culture, it was polite to invite him in. Feed him and give him a place to sleep. But I'm also sure, not just culturally speaking, I'm thinking they wanted to hear more what this man had to say. They said, "Stay with us since it's almost evening and the day is almost over. Jesus comes into their house and eats with them. Does Jesus ever come and eat with us? Try the Lord's Supper. What we're getting is His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. But we are in a feast with Him. And what do these two disciples do? Here's your answer time. What do the two disciples do after Jesus vanishes? Tick tock, tick tock. Yes, of course, somebody yelled out the answer. They went back to Jerusalem. It's already nighttime. They have already walked probably the 7 miles in the morning, 7 miles back. Now they're doing another 7. So they're doing at least 14 or 21 miles in a day. Now, how many of us would be willing to walk 14 miles, the minimum? I'm not going to ask how many of us could. I'm asking how many of us would if we could. All right? But why do they do it? They're so excited by the message that Jesus is arisen. They've seen Him. They've talked to Him for 2.5 hours. Had a meal. He breaks the bread and gives it to them. That certainly has a picture of communion in mind. But they're so excited that He's risen from the dead, they have to go back to Jerusalem and tell everyone. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us were so excited last Sunday last Sunday was Easter or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks! This whole everybody being home is just throwing my schedule out of whack. But how many of us 2 weeks ago after Easter had to either get on the phone or go see somebody and tell them that Jesus was raised from the dead? We'll try to say that in English. All right? And here's another lesson to be learned. Jesus walking with them for 2.5 hours shows how personal He is. He cared enough to take care of their grief and their doubt by sharing His word and walking with them for 2.5 hours. Don't we talk about in Psalm 23 about walking through the valley of the shadow of death? All right? For thou art with me. Got to say that in King James. You can't say it in any other version. Psalm 23 can only be read one way. All right? But how do we get through the valley of the shadow of death? It's because God walks with us. He's literally a living illustration of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.